Systemic Teaching About Christian Life Series The Gospel, The Good News of God Distribution conditions of this material are described at zoominchristianlife.org Subject of this audio The Gospel of the Grace of God Chapter 1 The Manifold Grace of God The subject covered in this new material refers to one of the themes that make up the series The Gospel, The Good News of God, which already has the following previous subjects. 1. Much more than a message, an offer of life. 2. The limit of the unlimited gospel. 3. The gospel of the Creator. 4. The gospel of Christ. 5. The gospel of the Kingdom of God. 6. The Gospel of the Righteousness of God. 7. The Gospel of Peace. 8. The Gospel of Salvation. 9. The Gospel of the Power of God. In the subjects mentioned above, it has been highlighted that the Gospel of God refers to an offer of newness of life presented directly by God to humankind and also that the breadth of the Gospel is so extensive and comprehensive that it is necessary to use various compound names to expose its greatness and the diversity of its characteristics. We also understand that it is relevant to remember that the different compound names related to the Gospel do not constitute distinct Gospels. There is only one Gospel of God. The various compound names of the Gospel, therefore, announce some of the most paramount facets of the same and the unique Gospel of the Lord. The Gospel of God presents a wide variety of characteristics, for it is through the Gospel that God offers all the necessary provisions so that human beings can be fully supported to live life according to the Lord's will. Each of the extraordinary facets of the Gospel of God is vital or essential, for they complement each other so that God's purpose may be fulfilled in the life of those to whom the Gospel is addressed. When God, through His Gospel, offers us countless gifts, the Lord in advance offers us what we truly need, even if we do not know for sure what we need or even if we are mistakenly looking for what is so necessary for us. Thus, in this new material, we would like to observe one more fundamental aspect exposed by the Word of God concerning the Gospel, which is the characteristic of the grace of God that is associated with this same Gospel, as can be seen below. Acts 20, 24. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy, and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the Gospel of the grace of God. Writing or speaking about the grace of God is always a great challenge, for surely the grace of the Lord is one of those themes and realities on which there is a multitude of aspects to consider. The grace of God is one of the central points of God's greatest gift presented through the Gospel to the world, and about which one cannot make an exposition in a few words without neglecting to mention several of its great characteristics. The Scriptures themselves teach us that grace cannot be confined just under one aspect, attributing to this grace a characteristic of multiple facets or forms of acting and expression, as mentioned in the following text. 1 Peter 4, 10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. In the above verse described by Peter, an apostle of Christ, a portion of the breadth of God's grace can already be observed in several senses, for it shows us that this grace bestows a variety of gifts upon persons, that it may be passed on by stewards to others, and that, in fact, the Lord's grace encompasses manifold aspects. Therefore, considering that the Scriptures assert that God's grace has multiple characteristics, we do not intend in this material to present a summarized sentence about the grace of the Lord as if it could be defined just in one phrase. Although the summarized definitions of some subjects and words are useful for memorization and referential use in other themes, the exacerbated search for compressing some subjects can be detrimental to a real understanding of them, which also occurs regarding the grace of God. Since the scriptures have already informed us that grace is manifold, we understand that it is important to accept what the writings left to us by the Lord declare to us. When people fail to see grace in its multiform perspective and seek to reduce it to a single concept, such as saying that grace comes down to be an undeserved favor, these people not only run the risk of trying to reduce what is manifold and cannot be conceptualized by a single phrase, as they as well run the risk of becoming subject to the most varied distorted interpretations of what heavenly grace is and how it works in favor of human beings. Just as the kingdom, the righteousness, the peace, the salvation, and the power of God need definitions from the Lord concerning each of them to be rightly understood, so also the heavenly grace is what the Lord says it is, and not what human beings try to define or summarize about it. The fact that the gospel of God is also the gospel of grace, and the fact that this gospel is granted by grace, does not mean that the gospel should be received lightly or that it is not necessary for people to seek a more profound understanding of the breadth of this manifold grace and how it works. The fact that God grants us the gospel by His grace, as well as so many other immeasurable and heavenly gifts that accompany it, does not mean, in any way, that a person should not devote oneself to the search for a broader understanding of the gospel and that one should not be dedicated to receiving the Lord's teaching in order to comprehend how the grace of God can cooperate, practically, in the most diverse areas of one's life. Although the gifts of the gospel are available to all human beings by the grace of God, people may receive the Lord's grace in vain for not deepening their knowledge of this grace or for not receiving the heavenly grace with due appreciation or in a broader way as it should be received, a point mentioned by Paul in the following text. 2 Corinthians 6, 1. We then, as workers together with him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Due to its inestimable preciousness and virtues, God's grace should never be seen and received as an ordinary and natural aspect of life or under a concept inappropriately summarized. The grace of God is highly elevated, and its value is immeasurable. It is worthy of being received, understood, and experienced with all attention, reverence, and love, for by this grace, people can achieve what really matters in their lives for the present, but also, and especially, for eternity.